Hey, as the kids are going out too, before we take the offering, I just want to say, I am just so thankful to be a part of this church family. What an amazing group of people you are. There are so many reasons that I'm thankful to be a part of this church, and the way you've enriched my life and my family's life is just unbelievable. But I was thinking this morning, especially as we get ready to take the offering, one of the ways that this church is just blows me away time and time again is through your generosity. And as we look back on 2019, not only did God allow us to do some pretty big kind of above and beyond projects, whether that was paying off all of the remodeling projects, whether it was things in East Lodi or around the world, but really for the first time in a long time, we reached 100% of our budget this last year, which is just amazing and is worth clapping for. Because that means everything that is given, every dollar that is given is for God's glory here in our city, around the world. And it's just amazing to think that. And also just exciting to think what God can do in the future. So thank you for being a part of that. Thank you for being a part of what God is doing. And I just wanted to mention that and celebrate that. Hey, I also want to do something we don't always do, but I wanted to recognize really a time of sorrow as well. We had a number of folks either in the church or connected to the church that passed away in these last couple weeks. Their names are listed in the bulletin, but I want to pray specifically for some of those families, for Rhonda Reynolds and her family at the loss of their mom, Della. Matt McCarty Jr., who grew up in this church, was in his early 40s, passed away this week. Frank Summersill, older gentleman in the church, passed away. And then also Pete Wick, who has been a real active member for a while. So I think of all those families, and I know we've got a lot of joy, but a lot of sorrow, and what the church is supposed to do is we celebrate together, but we mourn together and we love each other through whatever it is. So would you allow me to pray for those families as we pray for the offering as well? And I want to invite our ushers to come forward to collect that. So God, I thank you so much for just the things that you are doing. I thank you for the amazing generosity of this church family, Lord, to see beyond ourselves and to see a vision for what you can do and to see a vision for you. And I pray that you would raise up in us even more and more a spirit of generosity that's going to be a blessing to people. And I pray that each dollar given, Lord, would be seen and stewarded in a way that it makes just the maximum impact that it can for your kingdom. Bless us and lead us in that. Lord, we also mourn and hurt with those that are hurting, those that have lost loved ones, especially in this last week or 10 days. And we pray your comfort on each family that I just mentioned, as well as many other families that I didn't mention, that they're feeling lost and hurt in many different ways. Help us, Lord, to be the kind of people that come alongside and love and encourage one another through whatever comes our way, because we are your church. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, hey, go ahead and grab your message notes out. There's also a handout in there on the 2020 vision. When you see those notes, you might recognize that this morning's message is going to be a little bit different message. It's kind of a state of the church address as much as it is a traditional sermon. We'll be jumping back into a more kind of a traditional approach to a message next Sunday. But I wanted to wish you not only a happy new year, but welcome you to the very first Sunday of 2020 and to the very first Sunday of a whole new decade. How does that feel? Pretty amazing. And I'm just curious, by show of hands, how many of you made New Year's resolutions this year? How many made New Year's resolutions? Wow. So I did a little research on this, and I found that as many as 40% of Americans actually make New Year's resolutions, which means that we are quite an underachieving group here, because I saw about 5 people admit that they made resolutions, but I totally get that. The reality is a lot of the resolutions are kind of the same year after year. In fact, for the last number of years, the top resolutions have been almost identical. If you can see those up on the screen, the top resolutions in 2020 are these things. Number one, manage finances better. And maybe they signed up to go to the finance class. I don't know. But it's to manage finances better, to eat healthier, to be more active, to lose weight, improve my mental well-being, improve social connections, learn a new skill, and become more eco-friendly. And those are actually almost exactly the same as last year. And that's a pretty good list that we've got going there. Now, I want to be careful, because I never want to be discouraging about resolutions. I think resolutions are great, and encourage those. But the reality is that as many as 50% say that they keep their resolutions, 50% say they keep their resolutions only for 30 days or less. So yeah, so that's not a super high number. 30%, however, say that they keep them for 6 months. That's really good. And 18% say that they keep their resolutions and are still keeping resolutions that they made 2 years ago. And so that is a pretty good thing. But nowadays with technology, you can track the whole, you know, resolutions and how people are doing more than you used to. So for instance, no surprise, Google searches that are related to exercise and dieting reach their peak right around January 1st and 2nd. Those are the highest times you'll see Google searches for those. And as many as 20% of gym memberships are purchased between Christmas and the first week of January. So we see that. Also, I was surprised to read some of this stuff. Statistics from some online grocers said this, that alcohol sales are actually at a low in the month of January. I was kind of surprised to hear that, but they're at a low in January, but they pick up 40% in the first 2 weeks of February. I know, that is not just Super Bowl parties. That's an issue. We have Celebrate Recovery, too. We'd love to just chat with you about that. So on the flip side, juice cleanses reach their peak on January 1st, but they drop by 25% by the second week of January. Nobody wants to do a juice cleanse anymore. But I thought this was interesting. 15% more ice cream and 35% more pizza is purchased in February than January. So... And technology has actually helped pinpoint February 4th as the day that people are most likely to break their resolutions. How do they do that? Well, the online data shows that February 4th is the first day you start to see a decline in check-ins at the gym. And probably not coincidentally, that same day you see an increase in orders of fast food, online fast food restaurants on that very same day. So just a little information for you. But do not be afraid. It's not my goal to talk about resolutions that much today. Rather, what I want to talk about is I want to talk about vision. And as you think about resolutions, as I said, I think resolutions can be a really good thing. But resolutions are usually kind of a behavior, a change in behavior that's based on my willpower. Right? So I'm going to make this commitment and I'm going to try really, really hard to do my best to keep this resolution. And maybe it's made out of guilt from the past or it's a failure in the past, but I'm going to just try my hardest. I want to contrast that with something that's more of a vision. Vision involves seeing a picture, an image of a preferred future, something better that's out there and saying, I want to get to that. And then when you have that kind of preferred vision, that future in front of you, you can begin to say, these are the tasks, these are the steps that I need to take. And as a Christian, there is no more important vision, no better vision than the vision of knowing Christ more. Knowing Christ more and drawing closer to him. As Paul says, I count everything rubbish. I count it garbage compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so we want to hold that vision out there. And as we hold that vision out of knowing Christ, that kind of informs the tasks and the steps that we can take to move beyond that. So just to kind of explain this a little bit more, I want to talk about kind of the difference between task-based obedience versus what you might call vision-based obedience, just to kind of lay some groundwork for where we're going this morning. So just some biblical examples. So the example of Moses. Moses had the task, and it was a very significant one, of leading the people to the promised land. And so that was a big and a complicated and a difficult task. And God gave Moses some things that he should do for that task. But really what you see that kind of really motivates and pushes Moses forward is a vision that he has in Exodus chapter 33. He goes up on the mountain and there he meets with God. And while he's hiding in the rock, he sees a vision, a glimpse of God's glory goes by. And once he sees that vision of God's glory, Moses is never the same. And what he says about his task, he says, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, then don't even send us up from here. So in other words, because of this vision of being with you, wherever you go, that's where I want to go. But if you're not going to go with us, don't send me to that place. He had this new vision of knowing and being with God. Same kind of thing in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah's task is to be a prophet, and specifically a prophet to a pretty rebellious group of people. And that's a hard task, to be the person that tells people what they don't want to hear, right? And so if Isaiah, all he had was his willpower and just kind of the will to do this, my guess is along the way, Isaiah would have quit. He would have given up. And yet God gives him a vision. And in this vision in Isaiah chapter 6, it's a vision of God himself. And he says, I saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up, and the train of the robe filled his whole temple with glory. And he has this amazing experience and he sees this vision of God, and that changes Isaiah. He says, God, now wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Here I am, send me. And it changed Isaiah's life. One of the ones that I love is Peter. Peter is given the task in the New Testament of being the rock of the church. He's going to be like the leader of the early church. That is a challenging task that Peter had. And Peter has many visions that move him directly towards that. But one of the ones that I love is actually during Jesus' lifetime, when Peter and the disciples are out in a boat and they see Jesus coming towards them, walking on the water. And so they see Jesus, and with Jesus in front of him and the power of who Jesus is in front of them, Peter says, I've got to get to Jesus. And he says, I will get out of the boat. It said Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water and came towards Jesus. And I share that because my hunch is that some of us, and probably all of us if we got honest about it, need to step out of the boat. And God's got some water for us to walk on this year. God's got some ground for us to take as his church. And so as I said, this morning's message is going to be a little bit different because we're going to talk about a number of tasks, and it may feel a lot of things to do and goals for the year, but my desire is that we would be motivated not by those tasks, but by a vision of how great Christ is and the difference that it can make in this church, and the transformation that it can make in our lives as we move towards that vision of Christ. So this morning's message is called, How is Your 2020 Vision? And if you've been around for a while, you may know that about 4 years ago, a group of people in the church under Pastor Steve's leadership said, let's start to really ask God for the vision for the church. It's not like there was, you know, problems or any of those things, but there was a sense that we never want to be complacent, and we always want to go where God leads. And so kind of a diverse group of people from the church got together and started to pray together, to seek God together, to study scripture, to meet, to write, to do all these things. And it was a difficult process. It went on for several months, back and forth, all kinds of ideas. It was really a hard time, but also a really exciting time, because what came out of it is what we call the 2020 vision. And that's what we want to talk about today, because it's been kind of our guiding document for the last 4 years or so as a church. Now, let me say right up front, I know especially this phrase, 2020 vision, is not especially original phrase. In fact, last week I was on vacation and I had a chance to visit another church, and what was their message about? The 2020 vision. And so I stole most of that. We're going to talk about it this week. No, that's not true. Ours is way better. So, I also know that a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today are not necessarily things that are brand new for a church to do. They're things that really all Christians through all ages and all churches should focus on. And yet we wanted to be very intentional about it. We wanted to be purposeful in how we put those together so as a church we can move towards those things. And so the 2020 vision, kind of the broad theme, is this: growing deeper into Christ and then going further into God's world. So the idea is, as we have that image of Christ in front of us, as we grow close to him, one of the things that's happens, it's going to move us with compassion and love and faith to step out and to serve and to make a difference in our world. So the way we did this is we put together 5 targets. And so it's kind of a state of the church address, if you will. I want to just walk us through these 5 targets, because if we said, if we want to grow deeper into Christ and go further into God's world, these are 5 things that we can really focus on that will help us move in that direction. So I'm going to just walk us through these, look at some of the things that have done, that have happened, some of the things that still need to happen, some of the things that God is maybe calling you to this year to step out in faith. But the first target is this. We want to be a people that grow deeper into Christ by growing deeper into God's word. So this idea of being people that are committed to God's word was the target number one. As I said, it wasn't necessarily a new thing, but we wanted to be real intentional about it. So kind of the value that drove this target was this statement that we wrote. For people of all ages, so from the youngest to the oldest, to know, understand, and live out God's word. And that phrase right there is a really important phrase for me, this idea of knowing, but not just knowing, but also understanding, and then being able to live out God's word. So the vision is that each person will grow deeper into God's word by three things specifically: by regular participation in the large group worship, that the weekly sermons are going to be kind of an engine that drives a lot of our growing into God's word. But it's not just sermons. We also need to be in small group discussions and where we can study like a community group. And then we also encourage everyone to spend that personal time with God's word. So as we said, this idea of knowing, understanding, and living out is really important, because you can actually know God's word, but not necessarily understand it in its context that it was originally given, understand what it means in our context today, and you can understand it without necessarily living it out. And so this target was really important, especially in the world and the day that we live in, here in a day that many people are beginning to call kind of a post-Christian era, and kind of the overall kind of world view in our society tends to be more of a relativistic, kind of anything goes sort of mentality. And so the idea in a culture like that is there's very little foundation, right? Because everybody's following their own thing. And we said, as a church, we need a foundation. We are people that need a foundation, and that foundation is God's word. In fact, I just read something recently in a book by Andy Stanley, who's a pastor, and he was talking about when people make a commitment to follow Christ, or he was talking about when people that maybe grew up in church or had some religious experience, but then kind of walked away from the church, but then they start to come back to Christ. And he was talking about the things that are in all of those things. When a person comes to faith or a person comes back to faith, what's really important there? And he talked about the importance of people having an experience where the Bible comes alive. Right? Where they have this experience where, whether it's through a message, through a conference, a camp, or private time, whatever it is, in a community group, they realize that this is not just a book of old fairy tales. This is not just a book of a bunch of do's and don'ts, but this is God's word for me. And when the light comes on, it's amazing what happens in our life. And I pray that you have had and are continually having those experiences where God's word is alive, because that's what we want to see as we grow deeper into Christ. So what have we done? What are some things that we've really worked hard on? First of all, as pastors teachers, we've worked really hard to do the best that we can to provide quality messages. We're talking about kind of the preaching messages. So whether you agree or don't agree, you just keep that to yourself. But we've worked really hard as a team to provide quality messages that are also guided by kind of an annual theme. So we want it to be real intentional. One of the things that happens behind the scene, you may or may not know, is every week there's a group of leaders from the church that get together, and we talk about the message. And we talk about how the service is going to fit together. And the idea is we sharpen one another. We encourage one another. What about this? What about this scripture? And so that's something that we've added that I think has hopefully helped in the presentations to the whole church. But here's the deal. You can be in a church that's got the best preaching in the whole world. You can hear a million great sermons, and that doesn't mean that the word is getting into you, which is why we said we want to do our best to provide those big group teaching times, but we also wanted to provide some community, or what we call sermon-based community groups. And so those sermon-based community groups, what we do is each week the church produces, I believe, a really high-quality material. It's usually a video and a study guide that takes you deeper into the topic or the scripture for that Sunday morning. And so when you hear us talk about community groups or sermon-based community groups, that's that idea that a lot of times, whether it's Pastor Jake or Steve Steele or others on the teaching team, provide that video and that guidance, and then now you're not sitting just listening, but you're sitting in a circle and you're talking about it and what's it mean for me and how do I live that out? And so that's something that we have really done. And that's really where the Bible begins to make sense and we start to live it out. The other thing that we did in the last several years is we launched what we call FBC University. And again, the idea behind FBC University is not necessarily just to provide more in-depth material. It is more in-depth, but the idea is if this world that we live in is moving to an increasingly postmodern, post-Christian world, how can we be equipped? Because the church has always thrived. The church is not going anywhere. The church is going to endure forever. Right? And no matter what the culture is in the world, the church exists and the church is going to be strong. So how do we prepare ourselves for whatever the culture takes and brings us? And that's the idea behind FBC University. So it's a combination of Bible, theology, and praxis, how you live those things out. FBC University is designed as a three-year cycle. So over 3 years, you get the whole curriculum. We just finished the first three-year program and we're kind of launching it again. Now you can jump in anytime. You don't have to take the classes necessarily in sequence, but the idea is over 3 years, you will get some really good teaching through FBC University. So that's that first target. And as you think about that target and where we're going as a church, my question for you is, what about your 2020 vision as you think about your life? And I just kind of wrote out some questions. Would you say that you regularly participate in the group teaching times, prioritize being a part of the church when we gather together? And do I approach the message with an expectation for growth in Christ? Because it's amazing how much better the sermons get when our hearts are open to what God wants to say to us. Am I committed to a smaller community group, a place where I can discuss and apply scripture in a more personal manner? Do I spend time regularly in personal Bible study? Am I letting God's word not only guide my life, but am I letting it guide my day and my moment by moment? And are I living out what I'm learning by sharing it with others? And so after each target, my thought is that as you look at that list, maybe you need to put a little check or you need to put a little star and say, boy, this is an area that I could grow in, because we have this goal of growing deeper in God's word. What are some things that you could do in that area to grow deeper? All right? Make a little star, make a little check. And let's move to target number two. Target number two was this idea of growing closer to God and to one another through worship. So we talked a lot about this and kind of the value or kind of the vision statement that informed what we wanted to do was this. We envision our gatherings on Sunday to be an opportunity to worship as we receive God's word with open hearts, we give sacrificially, we sing with our whole hearts, we experience the leading and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and we intentionally love one another and welcome even the lost, and we welcome the seeking. So now it's interesting, again, in this hyper-busy, super plugged in and technologically connected culture that we live in, we find that not only are people more and more busy, of course, but people are more and more distracted. And as a culture, people they struggle much more to slow down, to even take the time to slow down and sit through a church service or attend church. So we have that going. And at the same time in our culture, you see a growing lack of trust for anything that kind of looks institutional. And so people are more skeptical about the church than they've ever been before. And so honestly, as you look at just kind of, you know, the broad church in the United States, really for the most at any time in the history of our nation, we are seeing a decline in church attendance. Just as in terms of people attending church, there's less of a value of that. And yet if you look at this vision says there is value in this. There is something sacred that happens when we meet together. The Bible says don't neglect or don't forsake meeting together. Why? Because there is something special that takes place when the family of God comes together. And we sing together and maybe you get encouraged, but maybe God's got you here this morning to encourage someone else or something like that. Or we hear the Bible taught. And so we said that we want to value this time of worship. And as we think about worship, We really talked about three kind of main areas that we wanted to focus on. We wanted to focus on welcome, we wanted to focus on worship, and we wanted to focus on prayer. So as we look at that value, when we think about welcome, that's what really led us to do what we call the welcome initiative. And if you've been around long enough, you know that one of the big things that happened was the remodeling and kind of redecorating of our welcome spaces. So the lobby, the welcome terrace out front, and some other projects like that. And that was a big project. Those were ambitious projects. I think they really have added so much to the feel of the facility, and you guys have been amazing. Those projects are essentially paid off. The church is debt-free. Money that comes into the building fund at this point allows us to do a future, whether they're maintenance things, but just amazing in that. And so we really celebrate that. That's a lot that's happened. And yet, we say time and time again that you can have a welcoming building, and that doesn't make you a welcoming church, right? It's really about how are we friendly? How do I see that person and reach out like that? So we want it to be a people that are welcoming, and that's always a big issue. We also want to be a worshiping church. Are we a worshiping church? And I know music can be kind of a challenging issue. There's lots of opinions and perspectives on that, but my heart is that when we gather together, you'd be able to just sing with your whole heart to God. And I think about times in the Old Testament when God sends his people out to battle. And there's several times when God sends his people out to battle, and who does he put in front? He doesn't put the warriors out in front. He puts the worshipers out in front. Because God's people don't go forward like that. They go forward as worshipers of him. And that's my heart for us as a church, because God's got some battles for us ahead, that we would be a people that go out as a worshiping people. And then the third thing under this target of growing closer to God through worship is this issue of prayer. And so some things that we've done, we completed the welcome initiative, updated spaces. We've updated our welcome ministries at the church, kind of behind the scenes sort of things. We also had some great prayer times. We specifically had the 40 days of prayer, which was awesome. And yet I'll be honest, as I look at kind of the overall vision, this issue of prayer, I think is maybe one of the areas that we have the most room to grow. I know I have a lot of room in my life to grow in this, but I think as a church, because we know we're only going to go forward as we go forward on our knees together. And in fact, if you're interested in being a part of the church prayer ministries, you could put that down on the friendship pad, and we'd love to be in touch with you about ways that that you could be a part of the prayer ministries here at the church. And let me just take a minute and say that right over here to my right is our prayer room, which at any time on a Sunday morning, there are always people in there not only praying for this service, but it's available. If you're here and you just need someone to pray for you or pray with you, you are welcome at any time during the music, during the message, just slip up and slip out and head over there. But that's our target. So as you think about those things, welcome, worship, and prayer, what areas can you grow as you think about your 2020 vision? And as you think about that and get a chance to reflect, I want to invite our worship team to come on up, and we are going to pause, and we are going to worship together as we kind of have a chance to reflect on these things and some of the things that God is calling us towards. So as the worship team comes, go ahead and take a moment and just kind of reflect. What are those things on these first two targets that I could grow in? Amen. And that's the kind of way we want to approach this year, with that sort of intentionality that every day is a gift from God to be followed. Although the good news is that talked about 365 days. It's a leap year this year. So if you mess up, don't even worry about it. There's 366 this year. So, all right. Well, hey, let's jump back into target number three, a really important one. It's about growing stronger through vital relationships and the importance of relationships. And as I was thinking about that, I came across a little article that I read about a woman who you maybe have heard about. You maybe don't know her name, but maybe you know what she's done. And she's someone who struggled time and time again with resolutions. And the story about her goes like this. Her name was Jean Nittich. Jean was was overweight as a child. She was overweight in high school, and despite endless diet regimes, her waistline kept expanding through her 20s and her 30s. She had tried everything, diets, pills, nothing seemed to work. Whatever she did, she always seemed to gain that weight back that she lost. So at age 38, Jean started a diet, and after 10 weeks, she had lost 20 pounds, but was starting to lose motivation. So she realized that if she didn't find some new motivation, she was going to be in trouble. And so she decided that what she needed was some other people to be with for support. So she invited some friends of hers to join her on this journey, and they would lose weight together. Out of those meetings that began in Jean's apartment became what was known as the first Weight Watchers meetings. Her idea was very simple. Losing weight requires a combination of dieting, exercising, and peer support. She held weekly meetings with check-ins for goal setting to promote accountability, coupled with honest, supportive conversation about the struggles, setbacks, and victories that go with dieting and losing weight. Eventually, she lost 72 pounds. She rented some office space, and she started leading groups all across New York City where this began. Today, Weight Watchers is an international company worth $4 billion, and her legacy has helped millions of men and women through the years. But I was interested, the current CEO said this. He said, though the science of weight loss has evolved through the years, the core of Jean's program remains the same, support and accountability. And the point hopefully is obvious. We need one another in the challenging things in life, and we are stronger together. Again, we talked about kind of this tech-driven culture that we live in. One of the things that technology can tend to do is move us to more and more isolation. And yet, while we're moved to more and more isolation, that doesn't change who God created us to be. And God created us as people that need relationships, vital relationships. And so we really tried to make that as a priority, the importance of relationships. One way that we're going to do that, even this year, and I'm super excited about that, is in 2019, kind of our preaching theme for the year was the incomparable Christ. And so we spent a lot of time looking at who Christ was and those kind of things. This year, our 2020 preaching theme that we're going to begin next week is called We the Church, and it's going to be all about what the people of God are supposed to be like. I am super pumped about this. I can't even wait till next week to jump into that together, and I think you're going to be blessed, and I know we're going to be challenged, and we're going to come through this year stronger as we look at that together. So as we think about this target of growing stronger through vital relationships, how about your 2020 vision? How can you grow stronger this year in vital relationships? And I want to challenge you just really simply in kind of two areas. First of all, are those a commitment to grow in relationships with other Christian people, people in the church. And as we talk about growing in those, that's where we talk about the importance of being in that kind of a group, especially those community groups where you can talk about and grow stronger together. And as Steve mentioned at the beginning of the service, we've got a number of places you can jump in beginning this week. You can just come on Wednesday night at 6:15. We get you plugged into a group there. We have a new one beginning on Sunday, as well as others that you can plug into. Or if you are interested in leading that, maybe having something at your home, we would love to help provide you everything you need and all the resources for you to be a part of one of those community groups. But our hope, our vision goes beyond just those inside the church. And so we want to think about vital relationships with even those outside of the church. And so the question is, do you know your neighbors? Do the people in your life see you as someone that they trust? Do the people in your life see you as someone that they want to be around? Are there steps that you can take this year to build relationships with people outside of the church and even outside of the faith? Because maybe 2020 is the year that God wants to do something to change their life and change their eternity. And maybe God wants to use you to do that. And so that's why one of our targets is vital relationships. And I hope you're challenged to grow in those. Target number four is all about serving our community and serving our world. So the vision value that's always been strong here at this church is this. We want acts of service to arise naturally from a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. As we experience his grace, love, and mercy, we want FBC to become like a temple from which healing waters flow in Ezekiel 47, bringing life and blessing wherever we go. And in Ezekiel 47, God gives Ezekiel this really amazing vision of the temple, and out out of it is flowing this stream of living water. And everywhere this water touches, we see that it brings health and it brings healing and it brings life to whatever it touches. And we said, why shouldn't our church be that? Why shouldn't everywhere that flows out of this church, it shouldn't bring life and health and healing and goodness into even dark situations? And so we don't want to run away from the dark, but we want to run towards those things because the darkness needs the light of the church. And so we want to be really active in that. We do a number of things, way too many to talk about here on a Sunday morning, but a couple areas that we really want to think about, some things that we have done, is we've tried to be really engaged in our community. And you people are awesome. You people are crazy. You serve in all kinds of organizations and different ways, and that is awesome. One of the ways that we've really seen some excitement recently is in what we're calling 180 Community, as 180 continues to expand just beyond a teen center to really reach into every part of our community, especially into Lodi's east side. And if you were around at Christmas, you know that our Advent Conspiracy Project was to raise funds to do outreach and lead into the east side, specifically in the purchase of a house. And I am super happy to report that you guys were amazing this Christmas. And the giving for Advent Conspiracy was over $55,000 this year. In fact, it jumped a little bit between first service and second service. And on top of that, we told you a little bit about a matching gift that someone in the community outside of the church, inspired by the generosity of this church, said, I'm not only going to match, but I'm going to go above and beyond to make sure that they get that house. And so we are ready and willing to buy 409 Hillborn Street, and we are going to move our first intentional neighbors right into that house while at the same time moving people into an apartment complex right on the north side of Lodi Avenue as well. So I am super excited about that. And you should give yourself a hand. So you'll be hearing more about that, but I'm super happy to tell you. So we want to be really focused in reaching out into our community. We also want to always be globally minded. God's heart is for the whole world. Pastor Steve has done a great job in giving us a global vision of the church. The missions program continues to be super strong. One of the things that the 2020 vision has allowed us to pursue is this idea of being a peace plan partner for the country of Lesotho, and a lot's going on there. If you are interested and you think I might want to be involved in the peace plan, maybe even going to Lesotho one day or be involved in local peace here, next Saturday, and you're going to want to write this down, we've got some leaders from the National Peace Plan Movement that are going to be here in Lodi, and they're going to be leading a session at 11 a.m. on Saturday at the 180 Teen Center, and then the same meeting will be here at First Baptist in the chapel at 5 p.m. after the 49ers game on Saturday. And so plan on that. So as Steve said, if it goes into overtime, I'll see you when I get there. So no, I'm just kidding. So all right, so that is that target four. And as we think about that, my question is not necessarily about church programs, but what is God's heart for you and how are you following God's heart to be a person of personal peace? So in other words, I participate in the church programs and those are awesome, but how am I bringing peace to the people that I interact with? How am I bringing that light and love? And how is the living water that Ezekiel sees in chapter 47, how is that flowing out of me? Am I bringing healing and love and goodness? And maybe right there in your notes, you need to write down the names of two or three people that you know this year God wants to use you to have an influence in their life. How can I live out my personal peace? And then the last target that we're really just going to kind of blow through for time's sake is this target of impacting future generations. Again, this has always been a strength at First Baptist. We have always said it is so important to be pouring into the life, not only of the kids that are growing up in this church, but the kids of this community. So all of our kids, children, young adults, ministries, we want those to be really great ministries. So impacting future generations, we really have kind of two main things that we're working on there. One are the children's and youth ministries, and the other is the at-home ministry, which you've been hearing about, which is a way for families to pass on faith from generation to generation through all kinds of different things in life. And one of the things that we began in this year, this last few years was the at-home at-home ministry and the at-home center, and there's tons of great resources for you and your family to dive deeper into to following after Christ. Pastor Tim is also going to begin leading a monthly meeting on the faith path. So especially if you have young kids, how do you involve that kind of a year-by-year growth in their faith? And that is Target 5. And so what an amazing thing. It's been so fun for me to look back over this past year and see how much God has done. There's so much to be thankful for. There's so much to celebrate. I am in awe and just thankful to be a part of this church. As you think about it, whether it's specific things that have been done, whether it's, you know, remodeling buildings or adding new space or beginning new programs like At Home or 180 Community, whether it was the vision to add to church staff, whether it's first of all bringing on Pastor Jake and then Pastor Steve Steele, whether it's ministries outside of this church and whether they're global or local, or whether they're just things that the church should always be about, being people of the Word, being people of worship, being people that love one another. It is amazing what God has done. And there is so much to celebrate over these last several years. But here's the thing. There is more ahead. God has got more ahead. And I'm so excited. And it's my prayer that we would go forward with that vision of Peter. That vision of Peter that sees Jesus in front. And he says, I'm willing to step out of the boat because God's got some water for me to walk on. And he's got some water for us to walk on as a church as we go forward into this year. I'm excited to do it with you. I can't wait to be a part of it. Thanks for being here today. Let me just close us this time with a word of prayer. And then our worship team's going to lead us in a song that I think is a great anthem for this year. And so let me pray. God, I thank you so much for all that you have done and all that you are doing. And for each person here, whether they've been a part of it from the beginning or whether it's all new to them or they're just wondering how they can get plugged in, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would lead us and move us to grow deeper into Christ and further into your world. We thank you for all that you are doing. We love you. You are our vision and nothing else. We commit it to you. In Christ's name, amen.